Welcome to This Dev Life, the podcast for developers, where we talk about the daily life of developers, challenges we face, and how we overcome these challenges every single day. Join me and let's have fun together. Are you looking to start a podcast like this? Anchor makes it super easy to get started with recording and automatically distributing your podcast to the most popular platforms, all for free. You can create podcasts from your phone, computers, or bring in pre-recorded episodes and overlay them with free background tracks. Make money easily with no minimum listenership requirement. It is the podcast platform for all. Download the free app today from your app stores or go to anchor.fm to get started. Hello people, how are you doing? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and how are you enjoying your day or your afternoon or your evening? I hope you're having fun and staying safe. Today on the show, I have with me a very good friend of mine. He's based in Ghana, Accra, Ghana. Well, I don't know why I ran here from the US, but he's here in Ghana. And, well, I'm in the UK now, left Africa for them. But yeah, he's on the show today, and he's one of the most exemplary developers, solutions architects, / DevOps, IoT, Power Apps, a lot of things guy I know. And we just want to dig into his brain today to, you know, have a feel of what it feels like to be a multifaceted programmer. So, Mr. Sam, welcome to the show. Go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners.
Thank you, Dara. Thank you for having me. And thank you, our listeners and viewers. It's an awesome opportunity. Anytime, you know, myself and Dara get together, if you don't stop us, you know, we just get rolling. For the sake of those who might, you know, have not heard or probably know me, my name is Sam Olajuani. I am, like Dara said, based in Accra, Ghana. I am a solutions developer, solutions architect. I'm a polyglot, so to speak. I like to solve problems with technologies and tools that are available for me to use. And I like to explore and do new things. Basically, that's me. I'm a crazy community, you know, freak. I stream 3 times a week. I have a podcast. And if I am not doing, you know, my everyday tech stuff, I'm either doing some IoT project I'm building or something like that. But hey, fun fact, I'm also a lover of theater and music. So if you're interested in that as well, you can hook me up or, you know, get me and we can talk about that as well. But it's great to be on the show.
All right. Thanks for coming up. Now, can you tell us how you actually get started with all this coding stuff and what got you started?
Well, so I would say that, I mean, for those who believe in faith, I think I tell myself I was born to do this, and you would understand why I said that. So growing up, I have been one of those kids who never conflicted what I wanted to do when I grew up. All right, I almost always was consistent with what I wanted to do in the areas. It was always something related to engineering. Now, so I was born and bred in a joint services barracks. When I mean joint services, military and police, and other, you know, I think secret service, another. So it was like a huge barracks where all these people were together. Now, the barracks where I was actually the national workshop for the Ghana Police Service. So what that meant was that woodwork in terms of carpentry, mechanical work, electrical work, engineering work, all that happening in that area. So they always had like a huge garage and a huge parking lot of abandoned cars, accident police vehicles, motorcycles, like things that cars were, that they were either going to repair or not going to repair. So what that gave me was the opportunity to go, you know, take out the light bulbs, take out some wires from here, take out some pieces from here, and then, you know, kind of like build my own stuff. But growing up, I also had a tendency of breaking my father's radios. So my father had like 3 or 4 AM FM radios, which I always broke, you know, I dismantled all of it. And then one fateful day he came back and I had assembled and fixed all the 4. And he was surprised. So in my family, they kind of knew that I was towing that line. I mean, then computers, you know, they didn't come in. And I have a very interesting story on computers. And if you are an African growing up in Africa, If your parents do not understand the value or the essence of what you want to learn or what you want to do, it's hard for you to get a support from them. Like most of us growing up, if you try to play football in our time, it was an abomination. But today, people are seeing sports as lucrative and they are even encouraging their kids to do that. In our time, if you wanted to be a visual artist or wanted to do visual art, you were seen as a dumb person. You know, so if our parents didn't understand the dynamics of what you wanted to do, it was hard to get a support. That's why I'm saying that for me, fortunately, I for some mysterious and miraculous way, my father had an encounter with technology. And that was like, for me, that point where I said, no, I want my son to do this. So my father, like any other African man, was very proud of their kids. You know, when I was able to do all these things, he was proud. Now, he was a volleyball player. Even though he was a police officer, he was the head coach for the Ghana police volleyball team. He was a master tactician. I mean, in the local league in Ghana, you know, the police team was just winning streaks. So he went to play club championship, I think in Italy, somewhere in Rome. And if you're familiar with volleyball, they have this statistics or side out sheet where every coach or team is actually striking the points, the blocks, the side outs that his team is playing on paper. So they were playing, I think, was it Egypt or Italy, one of the countries. So on their side, he noticed they had something like a television, I mean, it was a computer that he didn't know that, on their table. And they kept punching. And then volleyball was best of five. So my father won the very first two sets, but then he lost the last three. So he was curious. So after the game, he was going to talk to the opponent and having a conversation. And he was curious, like, what was that thing that, you know, they kept punching? So it was then that they revealed to him that, well, this is the paper you kept, you know, pushing to show who your hard hitters were, your blockers were, and your style of play. We were feeding that into the computer to get some information from the computer. So after the very first two sets, we knew who your top players were. We knew your style of play. So that's how come we could, you know, combat and defend and win. And the last three was like, oh, really? So this thing called the computer was able to do that. And coincidentally, when he returned from that, you know, the championship, our school then has started computer classes. I think I was in grade four. Or class four, as we call it here. So immediately I was like, hey daddy, they've started computer class and I want to just like computer. So once he had computers, he
jumped on.
His personal encounter with it was like, you are learning it, you know, whether you like you are learning it. So for me, it was just like faith and everything just came together. And from that time, I must say, you know, they have been very incredible, you know, getting me through computer school, even after school, paid extra to the teachers to take me one-on-one. And you know, and this is where we are. So from class four, if you can imagine, that's a very, very, very young age. Started doing Q, basic, and all those crazy things. So yeah, so that's how my journey started.
Wow, that's some quite interesting journey right there. And you're one of the lucky ones. I remember starting computing.
I know, right?
I think my first encounter with a computer was when I was about 11 years old or so. I grew up in a village literally, so
yeah,
it's what it is. But of course,
I mean, that's why, you know, I started with saying that, you know, if it is not, you know, if you don't have that exposure as a parent to some of these things, you don't even encourage your kids to go there. And you know, I was just privileged, so I'm grateful for that opportunity. And I always I'm trying to give the same opportunity to people when I meet them, that hey, look, you know, you can do this. So yeah, that's the story.
All right. So now, from grade four till now, you've had serious encounters with computing, and now you've worked at big companies, you've been in the US, you decided to come back to Accra to improve the ecosystem. Now, out of curiosity, what actually made you come back to Accra? Like, is it the love? Is it you're just fed up of the US?
Oh, well, there was a lot of factors, you know. There was family factors, there was professional factors, I mean work factors, and there was also the love of, you know, stuff that I was doing. Because I noticed something. So back in the States, I would come to Ghana once a year, and anytime I came, it was just part of me to organize a workshop on the new technologies for that period that I learned. You know, I come down, I do a workshop, and I noticed there was the hunger for it. Like, I noticed that people were, you know, in love with it. I think the one that really told me, look, this is it, was the very first Amazon Alexa skill development workshop, at that point, I think was the first in Africa. We had people coming from Kenya, Nigeria. The whole place was packed. So I was like, wait a minute. People want to learn these things, but the opportunity has not been created for them to learn. You know, and then I realized in the US that meetup culture was huge. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a meetup for virtually anything. You know, like in your case where you play the saxophone, there is a meetup for people who are just saxophone enthusiasts. You know, to meet, share ideas, play new song. There's like meetup for everything. So coming from that culture, and I realized the way the meetups actually benefited and helped you grow in your various professions. Because it connected you with other people doing the same things. You could learn what they're doing. You could bring the problems you're having at work. Somebody in the meetup has already solved it before. It was like an open space where you could learn and share. So after a couple of times, you know, coming back and going, I was like, wait a minute. I mean, if we are relocating, you know, we're coming back home, would it make sense, you know, make this one of the pillars or reasons why? Because at that point, to be very honest with you, I had done a lot back in the States that I just felt it wasn't resonating. It wasn't impactful. You know, the impact wasn't felt that much there because pretty much everything there was figured out. But back home, and for those who know me, I'm always for the African agenda. I'm always looking for an opportunity that puts me in a role or position where I can affect the lives of Africans. You know, that for me is the biggest thing, because I tell myself, if I, an African, you know, can make it out there, you know, command a lot of people, do stuff, work with big shots, you know, I think any other African who has that vision can do it. The only thing is for us to support them to do it, right? So for me, part of the move, you know, aside the family and other professional stuff, the huge chunk was that I wanted to be part of the movement, or to be part of that revolution that transformed and changed, you know, the tech ecosystem on the continent. And so that was even the main reason why I took the role at Andela, because then I aligned with their vision, because you're taking young Africans, training them, world-class training, and pairing them. So I really bought into that, you know, that idea. And that was one of the main reasons why I came. So for me, at the heart of my relocation is to help promote Africans in technology.
All right. Thanks for that insight. Now, if I may ask another curious question, how many programming languages do you write?
To be very honest, my first love was my first true love, okay, was QBasic, because that's what I started with, you know. But then QBasic is, you know, and then VB was the next one, you know. It was the king. In those times, you know, VB was, you know, was just it. So let's even leave QBasic and VB out, but I do C sharp. I do Python, I do TypeScript or JavaScript. So I do all the flavors of JavaScript. So no, let's just keep it JavaScript. I do PHP as well. Not, you know, as much as I would love to do. But now, if you ask me to pick my top three, it would be C#, JavaScript, and Python.
C#, JS, Python.
Oh, and don't forget the ones we did in school. Don't forget the ones we did in school, you know, the C, C++. I do that because of IoT. Because most of the IoT projects for the C embedded systems, I use C, C++. But in recent times, I've come to love using JavaScript and Python for most of my IoT projects. So in terms of priority, it will be C#. JavaScript and then Python.
And for you, I know, aside from being a programmer, you're a cloud lover, a very big cloud lover.
Yes.
So what cloud players do you play with, and what technologies do you use in them?
Oh, I play a lot with all the clouds, but if you didn't know, I am a Microsoft Azure MVP, so specifically in the Microsoft cloud. Flaunt that a bit. it is what it is. So on the Azure cloud, mostly I do a lot of stuff with, you know, web apps, do a lot of stuff with functions, do a lot of stuff with the DevOps DevOps aspect of it, do a lot of stuff with cognitive services, so Louis, Vishing, AI, those stuff. I don't do much of infrastructure, not that it's just that I am on the, you know, I would call myself the creative or the dev staff, exactly, yeah, staff of it. But I mean, I could spin up VMs and do stuff that I want to do, but you know, you think closely, if it's not a regulation or any compliance reasons, I don't see why, you know, one should be towing that part, unless of course a legacy application or something. But those would be the areas where I do much on the other, on the sister cloud solutions. I use a lot of GCP for especially for Firebase. I use a lot of Firebase from Google's side. And then for Amazon, most of the things that I use are either the S3 storage bucket and some IoT related stuff, and then Lambda functions on them. So those would be the services in terms of cloud that I use on the other sister cloud providers.
All right. So is a dev, is a cloud guy, IoT guy, MVP, Microsoft guy, four languages guy, plus the many other ones I did in school. So now with all
we don't count those.
it's just amazing to see as grass developers we tend to learn more languages than we started with. For example, I started with C#. I can do a lot of Python now. So some JavaScript, not that I really love it. PHP, I can debug PHP. Fortran, I know Fortran a lot, yes. I taught Fortran in school. And as you grow, you learn more. Now, for you as a developer, as a senior engineer, solutions architect, how do you gather all these skills? How do you become you? How did you grow to become you? How did Sam grow to become Sam? From that guy from grade 4 who loved computers to becoming the Sam we know today, how did you grow to become that?
So, Dara, I think one of the reasons that distinguish all of us from what we do, I can say that there are people like us who probably share the same trait. So, as far back as in grade 4, okay, I was so passionate to the extent that I naturally started, you know, I was learning things my group wasn't learning. And you know, then even connecting the computer was a huge task. It's not today that there are color codes where you have green, I think purple, where you know the mouse is green and the keyboard is, you know, then there were no, you know, color codes for you to you know, to do. They're all white, you know. And amongst the group, I happened to be the only one who at that time could fix the computer together, like to assemble it. Because the one we started was just two computers. And it was always in the principal's office. So when it was time for computer classes, we had to go pick it, take it to one of the classroom, and then connect everything. A lot of people couldn't connect that. And for some reason, because I was just passionate about it, I was the one who was able to do that. Like, I will fix a computer from, you know, beginning to end. I had always had this thing for knowledge sharing and teaching. So right from that step, I was always looking out for, okay, what next can I do? What next can I learn? Because I wanted to learn something so I could share with people. And that's something that has actually, you know, grown with me, where if I learn something new today, I want everybody around me to know that Sam can do this. You know, and then I try to apply it in a way that will be helpful to people. So I think that is one of the things that has been a driver for me. So I call myself, I'm self-motivated, and I'm an early adapter in the sense that I'm always on the lookout for technology. I know, fun fact is that I also thought IT. So from school, I taught computing from the primary school to middle school to secondary school. When I was in secondary school, actually, first year, second term, I started teaching my mate. When I was in second year in high school, I started teaching SS1s and setting exams questions. And so kind of like teaching was kind of like just naturally part of me. And if you were a teacher and were a very good teacher, you never stop learning yourself.
Exactly.
Because you never know what questions or things your student will throw at you. So I think that is one thing that naturally got me started. Like, I've been very curious. If I hear of a new technology, I want to learn it. And I want to see how that technology makes my life or how it makes my existing like solutions better. And I'll give you an example. ECMAScript has, you know, evolved. Even C#. has evolved, you know, and something that you probably wrote 10 C-sharp lines to do, today you can write it in one line. You get the point. So if you're not constantly learning, you can't better your code, you can't better your solution, you can't better your product, or you can't build better solutions. So for me, I think a few things. One, that teaching and sharing, you know, characteristics of myself is what drives me to want to learn more so that I can share. Okay. And I'm very curious. You know, that curiosity in me wanting to know what this tech is. How can I use a tech to solve a problem? And in terms of the corporate, or they call it, in terms of the characteristics, I've forgotten that there are pioneers, there are integrators. So I took all those tests and I was told I am a pioneer. So I'm always looking out for what's new out there. Mm-hmm. So how can I use it? And that drive, because I want to share it. When I find out how to do something, the next thing is he's streaming it, or he's blogging, or he's doing something about it. So I think that is what has made me who I am. So I never stop learning. I'm always curious. I'm still amassing knowledge. I want to learn something new and solve problems. So I think that is what has, you know, the drive that has brought me this far. And that's what has made someone who someone is. So whilst my mates and my peers are sleeping at night, you always catch someone, even midnight, all times, different time zones, he's always up. You're like, what is this dude doing up? Well, he's figuring something out. You know, he just purchased some hardware, or he saw something, and I'm trying to understand it so that tomorrow I can share that, you know, technology, I can share what I have learned from it. So I think that's what's made me who I am.
Thanks so much, Trader. And normally I would ask, if you're a young guy, what advice would you give to yourself? But I think all these points have sort of given that idea. And I just wanted to go that way today. Like, let's have a little bit of fun down the swing, since I'm having someone that does what I do on the show today. And I must really say thanks very much for all that. But I will still ask anyway.
Yeah.
If you were to give one advice to your 10-year-old self, what advice would you give yourself?
Considering, you know, how I started, I must say that I don't regret any decisions I took, but I would have, the one advice would have been, be more daring and take more risks. Mm. I think one of the things I didn't do was, I didn't take a lot of risk when I was younger, you know, because I was then a bit confined in, you know, in just what I knew around me. And you'd be surprised, I was very timid and shy. So that would be, you know, go all out, be daring, open up. That would be the key thing, because I realized that as you open up, you know, as you are daring, as you are, you know, breaking the status quo, you learn a lot, you fail a lot. And once you're failing, you're learning from it. I think one of the things, I was afraid of failure. At that age, I was afraid of failure. So I think that at some point limited me, because I'm sure if I had failed a couple of times, I would have learned a lot of lessons and done things a bit differently. Yeah.
Okay. Thank God I actually asked when I've gotten that answer out of you. All right. Okay, people, thanks for listening up until this time on this podcast episode, where we have Samuel Adrian joining us from Accra, Ghana. If this is your first time on this podcast, I must really guess you like it because you're listening up until now. So please go ahead and subscribe and leave a review for the podcast. It helps the podcast reach more people just like you. And of course, follow, share with your friends and family, people you think might gain from this. And of course, past episodes, listen to them. They are really impactful. And future episodes will bring more people like Sam on the show. I have some ideas in my head of really awesome people to bring from the US, UK, Canada, and all that. So make sure you subscribe so you don't miss those episodes. And to give it a wrap for the day, I would say, stay safe, keep learning, keep having fun, become self-motivated, and be daring. Till I come your way again with another episode of This Dev Life, I will say goodbye.
You've been listening to This Dev Life, a podcast for developers by Dara Oladapo. Thanks for joining me on the show. I'll see you in the next episode.